Exame Final Nacional de Inglês, Prova 550, Época Especial, Ensino Secundário 2021, 11º ano de escolaridade, Continuação, Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A da prova, Compreensão do Oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A da prova é composta por 7 itens relativos a 2 textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto 2 vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as registar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para registar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora à página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova, compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear 3 teenagers answering the question, "What benefits do you get from social media?" For item 1, match the names Zoe, Brad, or April in column A with the ideas they express in column B. All the ideas apply once. On your answer sheet, write only the names and the numbers. Now read the ideas in column B. You have 25 seconds to read them. Now listen. Zoe.
I think social media has lots of benefits that no one can really deny. People who say otherwise don't really have any clue about the way social media broadens our horizons. Personally, it helps me keep in touch with my friends at all times and feel connected to the world around me. Believe it or not, it has also helped me a lot at school. I belong to 2 online groups, and we usually share useful information, links, and videos. As long as you don't misuse social media platforms, harm others, and you're careful about security, they're a great thing. They can even help you pursue your personal dreams and learn more about whatever interests you. And you can participate in discussion sites where you can get your voice heard.
Brad.
Apart from all the obvious benefits, social media allows us to support important social causes and make an impact on our communities both locally and globally. Many movements started when a single person reached out to others through social media platforms and was able to raise awareness towards a global problem that needed to be solved. Besides bringing people together for a common cause, it can also help people fund their humanitarian projects, and this is definitely a huge advantage in a world where there are still so many inequalities. At the moment, I'm involved in an online school project that uses social media to tutor young students in Uganda. You realise your problems are so insignificant when compared to the obstacles these kids face. In the end, we all benefit, grow, and become better people.
April.
I think social media provides people, especially teenagers, with the support they need to solve many emotional problems they have to face while growing up. It is much easier to talk to a stranger about delicate situations, believe me, and if you're online, that makes it even easier. I mean, if people don't really know you, they cannot judge you, right? You can also use social media platforms to attract the attention of universities or even future employers. I think people in general need to understand that social media is not just a place to post silly pictures or get involved in social dramas. People can actually use the numerous platforms to help them find a career path.
Listen again. Zoe.
I think social media has lots of benefits that no one can really deny. People who say otherwise don't really have any clue about the way social media broadens our horizons. Personally, it helps me keep in touch with my friends at all times and feel connected to the world around me. Believe it or not, it has also helped me a lot at school. I belong to 2 online groups, and we usually share useful information, links, and videos. As long as you don't misuse social media platforms, harm others, and you're careful about security, they're a great thing. They can even help you pursue your personal dreams and learn more about whatever interests you. And you can participate in discussion sites where you can get your voice heard.
Brad.
Apart from all the obvious benefits, social media allows us to support important social causes and make an impact on our communities both locally and globally. Many movements started when a single person reached out to others through social media platforms and was able to raise awareness towards a global problem that needed to be solved. Besides bringing people together for a common cause, it can also help people fund their humanitarian projects, and this is definitely a huge advantage in a world where there are still so many inequalities. At the moment, I'm involved in an online school project that uses social media to tutor young students in Uganda. You realize your problems are so insignificant when compared to the obstacles these kids face. In the end, we all benefit, grow, and become better people.
April.
I think social media provides people, especially teenagers, with the support they need to solve many emotional problems they have to face while growing up. It is much easier to talk to a stranger about delicate situations, believe me, and if you're online, that makes it even easier. I mean, if people don't really know you, they cannot judge you, right? You can also use social media platforms to attract the attention of universities or even future employers. I think people in general need to understand that social media is not just a place to post silly pictures or get involved in social dramas. People can actually use the numerous platforms to help them find a career path.
Now, check your answers. That is the end of the listening of Text 1. Text 2. You will hear a podcast about the widespread popularity of posting images and stories about children online. For items 2.1 to 2.6, choose the correct option A, B, or C. On your answer sheet, write only the numbers and the letters. You have 1 minute to read the items. Now listen. Hello, I'm Callum Lewis. Welcome to another episode of Things to Say. Today in our podcast, I'll be talking about a rather controversial topic these days, the widespread popularity of posting images and stories about children online. Let me start with the findings of a recent web-based survey. According to the results, 56% of British parents say they do not post photos or videos of their children on the internet, and that it should be forbidden, while 42% disagree, and admit they share videos and photos. And 50% of these parents who do post videos and photos at least once a month. So, my question is, should regulations be set, or are we just making a huge fuss over nothing? Roy.
I definitely believe it's something parents should avoid doing. In many countries, questions are being raised as to whether parents are disregarding their children's right to privacy. A few countries have even passed laws, so Britain needs to deal with it and do the same. We all know that there are problems with data protection, which means we can never be sure where these pictures and videos will end up. It's a matter of children's safety.
And where do you stand, Eleanor?
I really think we might be making a storm in a teacup over this. I have family and friends in other parts of the country and the world, and sharing photos is a great way to stay connected. Besides, I don't share absolutely everything. I know my friends are not as careful about it, but how can sharing happy moments become such a huge problem? Don't you think you're overreacting?
Don't be so naive. Haven't you read or heard about problems such as identity theft and facial recognition? Besides, being monitored all the time also interferes with child development and alters their sense of self. This could lead to future problems for your kids. And how can you ignore the threat of kidnapping, undeniably the most alarming? These dangers aren't fictional, but a reality. There have been plenty of cases, especially related to identity theft.
Well, there's no denying it, but surely that's not always the case. Furthermore, some of those dangers have been around long before the arrival of the internet and social media.
That's true, Callum. I'm not saying we must ban all types of posts, but we need to consider that children's rights and safety come first.
We can agree on that, right, Eleanor?
We can. But think about the support and guidance some parents can get. Parents have insecurities, and by sharing information, pictures and videos, they can receive feedback and understand they're not alone.
That's true. As a matter of fact, I've come across some interesting blogs where parenting issues are dealt with. And I also agree they can give them a voice and help them with some good advice. You must agree with me, Roy. You have a blog yourself, don't you?
I do, and I must say it can be a great tool. Personally, I use it to help other parents with professional advice. The aim is to use my knowledge to help others, especially those who haven't time for professional counselling or can't afford it.
But parenting blogs can also be personal, funny and emotional, and still offer help to absolutely everybody.
They certainly can. However, I insist you can't just expose your children to the digital world. Besides the dangers mentioned, they might resent it one day.
We can always ask for their consent.
Really, Callum, you think that's a good idea? Children don't have the maturity to make such choices. Do you really think that's even possible? Of course not. Some parents start before the child is even born with ultrasound postings, and even if a child gives consent, their privacy expectations may change over time. And do all of them know what they're consenting to?
Well, thank you both for your ideas. Tomorrow, we'll be back with more Things to Say. Listen again. Hello, I'm Callum Lewis. Welcome to another episode of Things to Say. Today in our podcast, I'll be talking about a rather controversial topic these days, the widespread popularity of posting images and stories about children online. Let me start with the findings of a recent web-based survey. According to the results, 56% of British parents say they do not post photos or videos of their children on the internet, and that it should be forbidden, while 42% disagree, and admit they share videos and photos. And 50% of these parents who do post videos and photos at least once a month. So, my question is, should regulations be set, or are we just making a huge fuss over nothing? Roy.
I definitely believe it's something parents should avoid doing. In many countries, questions are being raised as to whether parents are disregarding their children's right to privacy. A few countries have even passed laws, So Britain needs to deal with it and do the same. We all know that there are problems with data protection, which means we can never be sure where these pictures and videos will end up. It's a matter of children's safety.
And where do you stand, Eleanor?
I really think we might be making a storm in a teacup over this. I have family and friends in other parts of the country and the world, and sharing photos is a great way to stay connected. Besides, I don't share absolutely everything. I know my friends are not as careful about it, but how can sharing happy moments become such a huge problem? Don't you think you're overreacting?
Don't be so naive. Haven't you read or heard about problems such as identity theft and facial recognition? Besides, being monitored all the time also interferes with child development and alters their sense of self. This could lead to future problems for your kids. And how can you ignore the threat of kidnapping, undeniably the most alarming? These dangers aren't fictional, but a reality. There have been plenty of cases, especially related to identity theft.
Well, there's no denying it, but surely that's not always the case. Furthermore, some of those dangers have been around long before the arrival of the internet and social media.
That's true, Callum. I'm not saying we must ban all types of posts, but we need to consider that children's rights and safety come first.
We can agree on that, right, Eleanor?
We can. But think about the support and guidance some parents can get. Parents have insecurities, and by sharing information, pictures and videos, they can receive feedback and understand they're not alone.
That's true. As a matter of fact, I've come across some interesting blogs where parenting issues are dealt with. And I also agree they can give them a voice and help them with some good advice. You must agree with me, Roy. You have a blog yourself, don't you?
I do. And I must say it can be a great tool. Personally, I use it to help other parents with professional advice. The aim is to use my knowledge to help others, especially those who haven't time for professional counselling or can't afford it.
But parenting blogs can also be personal, funny and emotional and still offer help to absolutely everybody.
They certainly can. However, I insist you can't just expose your children to the digital world. Besides the dangers mentioned, they might resent it one day.
We can always ask for their consent.
Really, Callum, you think that's a good idea? Children don't have the maturity to make such choices. Do you really think that's even possible? Of course not. Some parents start before the child is even born with ultrasound postings, and even if a child gives consent, their privacy expectations may change over time. And do all of them know what they are consenting to?
Well, thank you both for your ideas. Tomorrow, we'll be back with more things to say. Now, check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 2. That is the end of part A.